This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. At patreon.com/popculturist, head over there, check out the tiers. It might be something there that interests you.
If you are a Patreon supporter on any level, you can watch this as we record it live on the Saturdays. You get a lovely little exclusive link in your emails where you can come and watch this. And if you want to show the love of pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop. You buy shirts like this and this and a bunch of other random crap. Oh, where's my phone at? Or this, phone covers and stuff. And we are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can like, subscribe, and give us biddies and do all those things, including watching us stream games and stuff.
Us.
Well, me.
Him.
Me. How you doing? Right. I didn't want to do the whole and hey, I wanted to do something. I was like, okay, let's see if Josh goes with this, and he just drinks water.
I'm parched.
That's it. Hey, man.
Swell.
Swell? No, not sad anymore last week?
I just want to go home. I'm tired. I just want to go home.
Yeah.
Because we got games to play.
Yeah, we do. Like, we are starting to get back into the games, and it's really exciting. It's really, really exciting.
It might be the last one I buy for the year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I at least have two more lined up for the rest of the year, potentially. But what have you been playing?
Rocket League.
Yeah?
Because the Rocket Pass came out.
Yeah, how is it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Is it kind of what you expected? Is it more of the? Is it kind of like the battle pass sort of style?
Yeah, well, you got like your free tiers. Mm-hmm. Every 5 levels, you get something, and then you got your premium tier where every level you get something: new car, new cars, new streaks, new goal animations, new decals. You get keys to unlock your crates and all that. It's cool.
Very nice.
It's cool.
And because you've played quite a lot, so you're quite a high level.
I'm level 48.
So, does that hinder you getting the level bumps?
No, they've streamlined it, so every level takes the same amount of XP.
Oh, that's rad. Okay, cool.
Because they got to a point quite a while ago where leveling just meant fucking nothing. Yeah. And the XP you need to level up was extreme, but you didn't want to level up because it meant nothing.
Yeah.
Other than, like, I think you get titles at certain levels, but other than that, it was... So they streamlined it. So I think after level 20, you need the same XP for every level regardless.
Very cool.
Rejiggered how XP works. You get more XP if you're in the Rocket Pass. It takes, on average, maybe 10 games to level up.
Uh-huh.
10 to 15. And they're only 5 minutes. So you could almost get maybe a level every hour and a half.
That's not too bad.
And your level is a tier in the Rocket Pass. Like, there's no separate... Like, Fortnite has your level and then, like, your season level and your season tiers. It's just every time you level up is a tier up in the Rocket Pass.
So how many levels will get you in that Rocket Pass?
90.
That's a lot of time in that 5 weeks, whatever it is.
3 months.
Oh, 3 months. Okay, that's not so bad. That's pretty good.
A level a day will get you to the end.
Yeah.
But then the last 20 rewards from the Rocket Pass have curtains over them.
Yeah.
Like, mystery shit. Ooh, yeah. But no, it's cool. It gives you a reason to play other than just playing. I'm getting pretty good.
At the Rocket Leagues?
I'm getting pretty good at the Rocket Leagues. I'm starting to, like, do aerials off the walls and, like air dribbles and stuff like that. I've been doing, like, hardcore training sessions.
I was going to say, yeah, have you been doing in the training, or is it just from playing it over and over and over and over?
A bit of both. Yeah. But instead of, like, matchmaking and then just sitting there, you can go to free play while it's searching. So it's free play during that. Jump off the walls, go, you know, dribble the ball into the goal from space and stuff. Getting good. It's good. I like it. And Spider-Man.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a minute. But Metro, have you finally finished Metro?
No.
Have you gone back to it?
I've got about 3 levels left.
Okay.
Because it goes by chapters. There's 7 chapters, and there's 5 or 6 levels in each chapter. I'm in, like, chapter 6, level 5-ish. So I can knock it off in probably 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know, the Rocket Pass came out and we got Spider-Man. But I'll finish it. I'm too close to not finish it, even though I'm fucking terrified to boot that game.
That was my question, because like, I think, I don't know whether it was before last week's episode or during the week, you sent us a message saying that you were pooping yourself.
Yeah, it is quite scary, but I'm too close to the end to not do it. And then I want to do Last Light as well, before Exodus comes out.
Well, you got until February, so there's a little bit of time.
Is Exodus in February?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it out of the three that are hitting Feb 22nd, I'm pretty sure it's, Days Gone, Crackdown, and Exodus.
I'll be getting Exodus before Days Gone. Metro Exodus release date. February 22nd.
Yeah, I was right. I was really doubting myself. I thought Anthem was on that date as well. Oh, shit. I think Anthem is on that date as well.
It is.
Oh, balls. That date's going to be bum.
I don't know.
What's your stance on Anthem? Have you made a decision?
The Division 2 is also...
It's about a month later,
No, I'm just going to wait for Division 2.
Yeah.
I'm kind of off the games as a service things. Not because of their business practices and all that. It's just... It's always the same. Get into it. Love it for a month. And then never touch it again. And it's the same thing regardless of what it is. So... I don't want to do like Anthem for a month and then never touch it again for the Division 2.
Yeah.
And I want the Division 2 more than I want Anthem.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I get you. Yeah. I feel you.
It's cool. That's a good release date. Yeah. Because I don't want Anthem. I don't want... Days Gone is still... I don't even know.
We will likely get a code, so that's not so bad.
That's what you said about Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, it looks like... Spider-Man is real... Well, we got a code, day of release...
Yeah,
but
and then I've ended up spending my fucking money for nothing.
Yeah, I bought a copy too.
Yeah, but you sold your copy to Paris.
No, he hasn't bought it yet.
But he's going to.
No, apparently Charlie's going to buy it now.
Oh, well, you're still selling it and getting your money back.
Well, you can sell yours to Paris.
Huh?
We'll sell it around. It'll work.
No, because I've got it. Whatever, I've got it.
But yeah, so almost no one got codes before release day. Like unless you're the big guys, like, you know, our buddy Zach from Well Played, like, he's a well-connected dude. Mm. He's one of the people that helped get the current PR company in there. He actually wrote like a piece for him, like a statement saying, hey, these guys are fantastic and here's why.
I'm surprised Jim Sterling got it.
Yeah.
Because just, you know how he be, and he's quite vocal about Sony being wankers. It surprised me that he had footage on embargo.
But even those press kits with all the garbage in them, only they got to people on release day here in Australia, at least. I don't know. I kind of think either Insomniac or PlayStation were holding really close to the chest on this one, and hence why it was super.
Yeah, I don't get
super
it.
Super close. I don't know why.
Because I wouldn't call it amazing.
I don't know why that was the case. If they thought, if they knew, I imagine they knew it was going to review well.
I looked at the collector's trophy,
the statue.
I won't say what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. Like, I'm looking, I'm like, well, what is the spoiler here? I don't.
No, I'm curious.
I won't say what it is in case it is quite obvious to some people. But I looked at it, I'm like,
is it a villain or is it just a landmark?
I won't say anything.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
I looked at it, I'm like, I don't know why this is a spoiler.
Maybe we'll come in the game. Maybe we'll have a realization later.
But there's... You could look at it and not be like, oh no, I wish I didn't see that. You could look at it.
Well, even Paul, our buddy from Player 2, he unboxed it and I messaged him because I saw his video. I'm like, hey, did you unbox the spoiler pack? He's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, is it bad? He's like, I didn't. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't get the big hubbub about it, but whatever.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I'm
just
debating
look at
whether
it.
I do it.
Just look at
look.
It.
Yeah.
I guarantee you won't look at it and go, no, I didn't know that.
Well, because I kind of got semi-spoiled by Digital Foundry's video.
But that's kind of your fault.
It is kind of my fault. Plus, I wanted to... Cause the reason I goaded to Digital Foundry is because they weren't reviews. These guys are just black and white analytical look at the game.
Yeah, but they have to show you footage from the game.
Yeah, that's my fault for looking, Well, I got spoiled, and it's not really a spoiler considering it's like 5-10 minutes in the game. You come to see Dr. Octavius. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that was it. I'm
you
like,
get to see Oswald.
Yeah. You see, you don't see Doc Ock, you see Dr. Octavius. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was in it.
I didn't know his first name was Otto. That's cool. Such an Aussie thing.
Otto Octavius.
Fucking Otto, mate.
Is that all you been playing?
Yeah,
outside of Spider-Man, I've fucked if I don't want to be playing this week. I've actually had a pretty low-key week.
Mm.
Like, after...
Are you going to pick up the Tomb Raiders this week as well?
I will pick up Tomb Raider this week. Out of curiosity, having played Rise, you know, having played the other one. I think something cool can come out of it. Like, I really like... As I said last week, I really dug the gameplay of Tomb Raider. Story is the anus.
Mm.
But I am hoping... I believe I will get Spider-Man done by the end of next week. So that way I can jump into...
Gonna get a plat?
Tomb Raider. I'm going to give it a go.
Mm.
If I can. I'm looking at the trophy list. Doesn't seem too hard.
I haven't looked at it yet. I'd imagine it'll be similar.
I haven't looked at it, but people have been like, hey, there's nothing missable. It's about 30 hours.
Yeah.
You can get it just by playing the game.
It'll be like the... Sony have done well with their trophy lists, with Horizon and God of War. Just easily achievable trophies that just want you to just look at everything.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as gnarly as God of War in terms of the Valkyries and shit.
They won't.
No, no, but as in, like, there is a lot more end game in God of War.
It's just not having difficulty-related trophies is the winner for me.
100%. I agree.
Because any game that has a trophy play on Nightmare difficulty, I'm like, well, I'm not doing that.
Are you, what difficulty are you playing? Oh, fuck, we'll talk about Spider-Man in a minute. Okay. But yeah, I can't think of anything else that I've played. I'm sure that I have played something. I didn't stream on Wednesday because I was... I was recording Dash Culture with Buddy and Dash. And we went over by like 40 minutes. So I was like, fuck it, I'm not streaming.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No stream this week, so I didn't plan a thing. No, I've not played a whole bunch. I played games at work, obviously, but I was like Death Squared, which is still fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it, really.
I played games at work.
Yeah, but it's never like... It's like the games, like... The game, although
you were playing Spider-Man.
Although on Friday, because I bought it in the morning, and Paris was like, because Paris had meetings in the morning, and he came into the site, and I'd done everything I needed to do, as I was just dicking around, just moving, tidying things, and he's like, "Hey, you bought Spider-Man? You play it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm running at home." He's like, "Why'd you play it here?" I'm like,
"Okay,
what?" He's like, "Yeah, you have to research games."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah, but it's single player and it's nothing really." He's like, "Yeah."
They might add.
You know that.
Nice.
Alright, I'll play Spider-Man. But anyway, that's all I've been playing. So, in a nice quick opening to the show this week, we're jumping into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about the PlayStation news that happened this week.
Number one, Sony executive has seemingly poured cold water on the idea of an upcoming cross-play solution. According to The Independent, Sony CEO Kenichiro Yoshida said during Germany's IFA Electronics Convention, quote, "On cross-platform, our way of thinking is that always the PlayStation is the best place to play. Fortnite, I believe, partnered with PlayStation 4 is the best experience for users. That's our belief. But actually, we already opened some gates as cross-platform with PC and some others, so we decide based on what is the best user experience. That is our way of thinking for cross-platform." Continuing, Yoshida called competition from Nintendo and Microsoft a healthy situation for the industry and its ability to grow. Sony's own growth strategy, added Yoshida, will include mobile, but his words make it sound like it won't include connecting PlayStation users to those on Switch or Xbox. He just had a huge wank over the whole PlayStation audience. Just, we're so much better than everyone
else.
See,
I disagree.
Firstly, Fortnite partnered with PS4 is the best experience. Fuck off.
All right, There's two first sentences. The first sentence, "On cross platform, our way of thinking is always the PlayStation is the best place to play." Any business will without a doubt be like, "We are the best place X."
Of course.
So that people get real uppity on that comment, like, "Oh, they're being arrogant." Like, no, they're being a business. That is a business comment. Like,
but he should have stopped there.
Yes. Oh,
the next sentence should not have happened.
Yeah, I was gonna get that
because that discredits everything.
Yeah, I was gonna get there in just a second. Like, you know, like Coles and Safeway sell the same shit. Coles claim they're better. Mm. They're the best place to buy your tomatoes. Where Safeway may in fact be the best place to buy tomatoes, but. Mm. Yeah, but that second sentence
should not have.
No, because like what they've done, like using Fortnite as that example, like they could have used anything else.
Mm. Like Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League is the best place to play.
Not.
Well, cross with PC. The only thing Rocket League doesn't do is Xbox and Switch.
But it's a pretty common belief that anything you can play on PC is normally going to be the best place to play it, assuming your system can run it at all the specs and all that stuff. So putting an actual game title into that statement especially just discredited it completely.
Yeah, especially something like Fortnite. We know with the account lockings and whatnot, which we've complained about.
But
before.
As you said before the show, we do listen to Sacred Symbols.
Yes.
Another PlayStation podcast before we do this, you know, throughout the week and all that. And I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, I think Chris from that show said they just shouldn't have said anything about it. And yeah. I agree with that. Just if you don't want the crossplay, just shut up. Don't mention it, because every time you do, that whole conversation goes...
Yeah, but Sony and PlayStation are in a situation right now where no matter what they say, they'll get that result. So if someone's like, so what's your stance on cross-platform? And then someone's like, you're not going to answer that question. They're like, Sony avoids question on cross-play.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, there is no win-win here. Like, they're
backed into a corner.
They themselves have backed themselves into a corner. Mm. And like, so with no fault of their own, they've got there. Mm. However... I still personally think the crossplay is such a zero issue. No. Granted, it's more of an issue than Spider-Man's Puddlegate, which we'll get to. Yeah. But
Puddlegate, fuck.
Like I don't think it's. I think it's a waste of breath.
Yeah, shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah,
just but, whole be quiet and just hope it all goes.
Yeah, away. But at the same time, they're like, no. But we have done it with which, you know, everyone seems to forget. Everyone does seem to forget they have done it before in the past, and it's just convenient. Like, gamers have incredibly short memories, like, consistently. Like, this happens all the time.
Are you talking with PC?
No, just in general.
No, you're talking about cross-platform.
Yeah, cross-platform with PC.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
What do you mean it's not the same thing? It's identically the same thing.
It's not identically the same thing, because PCs and consoles are different beasts.
Yeah. But, like, there's been no precedent to deal for... It's Xbox and PlayStation... Xbox and PlayStation... Once, as I said before, it's unnecessary for them to talk to each other. They're competitors. It's fine. Like, you can't take the gift card you've got from... I know it's a completely bad example. Gift card from Woolworths and go to Coles. You know what I mean? Because they are competitors.
But no one's wanting to take their PSN card but and
Switch
spend it on
Switch
Xbox.
Is like fucking like Franklin's over on the side there. It's a little
Franklin's is better than
both
of them.
I love Franklin's. Franklin's are so good. But you know what I mean? It's like,
RGA is pretty good too.
But they're a non-competitor now, essentially, so that they can be treated as such.
Read that.
Damo jumps in. Hope your camera is still capturing and not frozen while recording. It should be. It should likely be only the feed that is the problem.
Moving on the screen.
Which is good. Yeah, it's normally just an issue between the camera and the computer. But
sorry, podcast listeners, but I'm not editing that out.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
I cannot be fucked. but yeah, I've fallen into the unfortunate camp of I just don't want to talk about it anymore.
Me too. And
but... I still don't believe in their stance on it, but they're obviously not going to be wanting to change it, at least until next gen, so there's just no point talking about it at the moment.
Yeah, if everyone just backs the fuck off, and then come PS5, and it's not there, then make a stank out of it.
Yeah, but it's obvious for the rest of the PlayStation 4 lifecycle, you are not going to get crossplay with your games. Doesn't mean you should not be vocal about it, but stop expecting it to happen.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, expectations and entitlement with the gaming people is the problem.
But keep the pressure up, I say. If you continue to want it, keep voicing your opinion.
That's correct.
Because as soon as you stop voicing your opinion, they're going to go, well, no one's talking about it anymore, so we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Speaking of not wanting anymore.
Hey, did you, because I titled it, just go away for a while, please?
No, but I knew what the next news was.
Death Stranding, Hideo Kojima's upcoming game starring Norman Reedus will be featured at the Tokyo Game Show 2018 on September 23rd. Announced through the official Kojima Productions Twitter account, the mysterious game will take the stage along with director Hideo Kojima and several Japanese voice actors. More details will be announced prior to the event. It's unclear if we will get more gameplay of Death Stranding at TGS like we did at E3 2018, but since the studio has started showing direct gameplay... But since the studio has started showing direct gameplay at all, it's possible another taste will be shown off during the event.
Can this game just fuck off for a while?
I understand why it's there, because it's a Tokyo game show. I get it, but we're not going to get anything new. I can pretty much guarantee it. I don't believe we're getting anything. If we're going to get anything new this year, it'll be at PSX and not the Tokyo Game Show.
Potentially, but I think Tokyo Game Show, as you said, because Kojima being a Japanese company and a Japanese person, it's best that they do that there. I think that's a good nod to the non-Western audience.
Yeah, but we also just got so much of nothing like 2 months ago.
Yeah. When I say I'm done with Death Stranding, it's not like I'm sick of the game. It's just... I don't want to see it. Like, come back to me in like a year and a half when you can give me a fucking date.
But apparently, this is a pretty normal Kojima thing. to always be like, you know, hey, I'm still here, I'm still doing things.
Yeah, but we know no one's going to forget Kojima. Like, it is impossible to forget Kojima. His legacy is
it's impossible to forget him because he always does this. Yeah. He just doesn't fuck off. He can't go away for 6 months and just be quiet.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the terms of the gaming creators, he is that auteur. He is that the one that everyone knows about. Like, the name Kojima has power. So it's not going to suddenly be like, who's Kojima?
No, I know.
And, like, what's Death Stranding? Because the people that... It's the same people that, like myself, love Kevin Smith. The same people that love Tarantino. Like, these people absorb anything that comes from those names. So they'll never forget that Death Stranding is coming.
I just don't. Just stop for a while. Because it's going to be... It's going to be... I can see it turning into, like, a Kingdom Hearts thing.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, like, 2020, 2022, 2024...
But no. But
every 6 months, there's something new. No, we're still.
The big thing with Kingdom Hearts 3 is they've never given a date. They've showed a bunch, but they never gave a date.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Death Stranding will do the same.
But to the point where it became a meme.
Exactly. And we'll never get a date until it's like, hey, and it's out 8 months.
In 2025.
Yeah, and we're like, well, what the fuck have you just done for the last decade?
Yeah. We'll see.
The game coming out sooner.
Bethesda has revealed a few more details about Fallout 76's campaign, including how finishing it will reward the player. Although the game will place a heavy emphasis on multiplayer opportunities and survival, when announced, Bethesda referred to it as an online survival RPG. That doesn't mean that it's giving up the series' traditional story-based elements, with the game's development team clarifying that Fallout 76 will still be driven by quests. The news comes from Game Informer's latest feature on the game, with the developers revealing that the game's main quest storyline will revolve around the mysterious disappearance of Vault 76's overseer. Bethesda director Todd Howard explains that she left before everybody, leaving behind secret instructions for the player, who receives a transmission from her upon leaving the vault. This transmission and the instructions left behind will drive the player through the game's main storyline, which will end with the player gaining access to the game's nukes.
Which then opens that big multiplayer bump.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's always... The big
multiplayer hook is be able to nuke your buddies.
If you want to get the nukes, you have to do the story.
Yeah.
Cool. Because I didn't quite know what to expect with it, like with quests and stories and all that. So it's good to get a clarification that, no, there is a direction up to a certain point. Now, whether the campaign's like 3 hours or so, or it is actually 20, don't know yet. But I like that there's just something there.
Yeah, something to keep you moving forward.
There's nothing like... What I hate about these survival games is, like, you're in the world, off you go, and that's it.
Mm.
Like, you know, Minecraft and all that, you know, it's just make your own stories. I don't want to make my own story.
Yeah.
Just give me a direction and I'll do all the things. Just keep giving that little push.
Yeah. And like, I'll monitor my meters and all that garbage. Just push me in the direction.
Tell me why. What should I?
Yeah. I'm keen as balls, Fallout 76. Like, I'm November. With the beta coming in next month in October, we've both got codes. We're both putting codes. We're not quite sure on when it will come through. But
don't forget, the progress does carry over from the beta to the main game now as well.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm super keen. Like, I would have played it without knowing that. Like, there's been a bunch of sort of trailers giving a bit of gameplay info and stuff.
I haven't watched anything since
E3. Me either. Well, that's it. I've seen the trailer as it pop up in my subscription feed on YouTube, but I've not clicked on anything because a lot of them seem to be like, and this is how you do this, and you know, they did the same sort of like little
50s cartoon.
Yeah, 50s cartoons.
Yeah,
and I'm like, nah, I want to enjoy. This is a game I'm actually pretty keen for. So, sipping that back away.
We got some more details, probably the last amount of details we're going to get for the blackout mode in Call of Duty Black Ops 4. The map will have 80 players, and the map is made up of multiplayer maps from the COD franchise. That's fucking cool.
That's cool.
Blackout mode will also have consumables on the map that will enable for a limited time Black Ops signature perk power-ups. Speaking to Game Informer, Treyarch Studio Design Director David Vonderhaar explained that in Blackout, the perks are consumables. You collect them, you use them, and they have a timer. Game Informer also revealed a few of the perks players can look forward to finding in the map when Blackout launches, and they are as follows. Paranoia sends out an audible alert when an enemy sets their crosshairs on you. That's cool.
I like that.
Watch the fuck out! Get down! Get down, Mr. President! Outlander, you take less damage from the circle and are given a speed boost when taking said damage. Consumer, the time to heal yourself, revive teammates, and use items is reduced by 20%. Nope. Skulker, the move... You move more quickly when prone and crouching. Stimulant, your health goes up by 100 points. Iron Lungs, you can hold your breath longer when sniping and swimming underwater. Looter, lets you see ammo, health, weapons, and other items through walls. That's a good one. Dead Silence reduces the sound of footsteps. So these buffs take up a slot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just pick them up. Like, you pick them up as an item, yeah, and you use them when you want to use them. I'm liking the way it's shaping out. The trailer looks pretty dope. Looks like you can fly helicopters.
I have to blow my nose because I'm brutal. You keep talking. I'll be back in just a second. I was
just bouncing off you.
Yeah. Well, you
I'll keep talking to you as you're out the
door. Yeah. I'm just going to blow my nose.
Because the trailer showed you can, like, fly helicopters and all that kind of cool shit. And why are you shutting the door?
I'm not.
It's
behind me.
Oh. I've got the tires on. Is it?
Yeah.
Because I can't hear it. No. How loud do you think it is? Oh, everyone heard that. You're worried about the sound of the dry making, yet you just blasted everyone with nasal spray. But yeah, it looks good. And I like how, like, looking at the map overall, it gives me, like, little nostalgia flashbacks when I'm looking at, like, names like Estate. And like, I'm like, oh, I remember that map from, yeah, like, COD Modern Warfare 1 or 2 or whatever it was. I like how they've done it. I do like
it. The map looks kind of cool. Like, I mean, it's a cool choice to go 80 players.
The skyscrapers were there as well. Yeah. Modern Warfare 2. Yeah.
Obviously, Nuketown's in the trailer as well.
Nuketown Island.
Yeah.
It's off to the side.
I think Nuketown's probably where you start in.
Kind of like you would with your lobby. Yeah,
your lobby, and you kind of dick around there, and then you jump into the big map. That makes sense. But, you know, like, I'm really keen to see how they blend a lot of these different maps in, mostly because a lot of them have different sort of themes. Like, there's a, like, Rust being a big desert one, and then you've got, like, the Monster Mountains, and
yeah, but so it seems like they've cherry picked ones that will fit into the aesthetic of what they've kind of chose. But it did seem like from the trailer there is, like, a deserty kind of area as well. Might have Rust in there or something.
The beta is going live in the next, like, day or so.
Soon. Why do you say that?
No. Oh yeah. Well,
that's, you get a press email about it.
Yeah. Well, 10th of September, I think.
Monday. Today, for listening.
Yeah, so if you received a beta code back for the regular multiplayer beta, you can now play Blackout.
Fuck, that multiplayer sucked ass.
We played so much for
that. It was so shit. Had nothing else to play at the time, yeah. I think. But I wanted to give it a good go and not be like, oh, it's just another COD game. But after about 10 hours, it's just another COD. I tried.
So are you down for I'll probably likely be streaming it. Are you down to online partner with me from your house?
When?
I don't know. Whenever it drops. We'll work it out.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on how much I'm playing Spyro.
That's true.
There is no top selling games list this week. They forgot because Spider-Man's all the hype. But there are two quick bits. Anthem will have a demo available on February 1st, my birthday. Story DLC will be free throughout the duration of the game. And THQ Nordic purchased Kingdoms of Amalur IP from 38 Studios. So the demo coming out on my birthday is pretty cool.
Woo!
Even though I just said I'm probably not going to buy it. They want to keep the story DLC free, so, you know, everyone's... Not like Destiny, where there's three expansions in and you have to buy them to see what's happening in the story. So I like that. How they make up for it monetarily, though.
Yeah.
And THQ Nordic are just buying all the things.
Yeah, like a lot of old properties, too. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Time Splitters the other week. Little trivia for 38 Studios, a studio in Rhode Island. And to make the game, they took out a loan of $75 million from Rhode Island, which funded by taxpayers and all that. Okay. They couldn't pay it back. They had to default on it.
You think?
Yeah, they didn't pay it back. They went to court, but they didn't end up having
75 million or 7.5.
75.
That's unnecessarily huge. Yeah.
I don't know if it was just for that. I don't know. But just when I was reading the news article, I was like, oh, that's funny. Because THQ Nordic didn't buy that IP for 75 million. No. But they did default on that loan and they had to go to court and stuff. But nothing ended up coming of it, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason they actually don't exist anymore. And I imagine whatever they purchase this one, we'll go back into paying that loan. But
maybe. But apparently Kingdoms of Amalur was fucking rad.
Yeah, seeing a lot of praise for it on the onlines.
It was getting like 9s and 10s back then, and I didn't give it a second glance really, because I think Skyrim was out around the same time, and I was balls deep in that.
Yeah, THQ Nordic are really picking up a lot of the old nostalgia pieces, like your Time Splitters, like your.
Are they going to do anything?
Well, they're doing Darkseid as well, aren't they?
I think so, but just because they're getting the IPs doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be making a game in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it means it might be a good.
Chuck it in the bank, and when they're like, "What do we do next?" Go, "Oh, that one."
Yeah.
Everyone will love that.
Sounds good.
Nostalgia sells.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Nostalgia. That's it for the news, Ryan. We have a chat to the players about Marvel Spider-Man on PS4.
So, Friday that just came, the 7th of September.
Yesterday, at the time of
recording. Yeah, yesterday, time of the recording. Marvel Spider-Man finally came out in PlayStations. So, big thank you to PlayStation Australia for once again providing us a code, because they're really nice of us. On day of release, regardless, we still got one.
Halfway through day of release.
After we had already purchased it.
Day of release comes, like, well, we missed out this time.
Guess it happens.
Guess I'll go buy it. 3 hours later, you're like, oh, we got a code. Do you want it? Anyway, if I hadn't already opened the game, because
I
bought it at lunchtime. I was going to buy it after work. I thought, nah, I'll get it now. And then I ended up finishing early for the day. So I went home at like 1 and I got home, opened it, put it in.
The email came too.
Let it install while I do some housework and all that kind of stuff. If I just got it a bit later or didn't put it in so an hour later, I wouldn't have had to spend $70. But
yeah,
also got to support the company.
Yeah, mine was installing as the email came through.
My buddy Joel from Anagame literally had walked into EB Games to purchase it and then just walked out when he got that email. So yeah, that's the thing that happened, but that doesn't matter because that does, you know, PR copies don't necessarily relate to the quality of the game.
That's true.
What do you think?
I'm enjoying it, man. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I don't have an attachment.
Spoiler free.
Yes, no spoilers. But
this is like the first 10.
This is all first impressions. I've put
maybe the first 8 hours.
Yeah, I've put just under 8 hours in there. Yeah.
Having said that, in that 8 hours, I feel like I've seen everything there is to see.
I have.
Other than story, of course.
Have you been dicking around in the city more than doing the story?
Pretty much.
Yeah, me too.
I've gotten all the like every time I go to a new area, I'll do the collectible things while I'm there.
Yeah, so the premise of this Spider-Man game is that it's set 8 years after you become Spider-Man. So there is some
advantage. Stuff's already happened.
There is some advantage that stuff's already happened. Character development's already there. You've already clearly gone through some iterations of your suit, so that it makes it super easy for them to go, oh, and you have a new feature. Because it's not like you have to learn. It's like we're adapting on the high tech that you already
have. I like that it's not an origin story.
Thank
no one needs to know the origin story of Spider-Man.
Everyone knows it.
No one needs it. He gets bit by a radioactive spider.
And then his uncle dies.
And then he's cool. Yeah, and his Uncle Ben. Poor fella. Yeah, look, it's all right.
Yeah?
It's good. It's a game. I feel like it's done that. I don't like looking at the world map.
Yeah.
It's like all the collectibles. There's like 8 different categories. You know, you've got this to find, but then you've got 40 of these to find, and then 75 of those to get. I'm like.
But at the same time, they're not kind of going, and here's everything. Like, they drop a small handful every time.
Yeah, but it's still. It's just busy work.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, if the game wasn't so fucking fun to traverse the town in, I'd have more of an issue with it. Yeah. But when it's like, oh, that thing's 800 metres over there. Whee! You know?
Whee!
And it is the best part, you know, because, you know, the Arkham series was good when you could unlimited glide. Like when you could traverse the city.
We could get that,
you
know, that dip.
Get the momentum, get the upward swing and just kind of do this.
Yeah.
That to me was when the game was the funnest, because it's not, you know, landing and trying to find another high perch and all. Whereas this, you can just from the ground go and I'm gone.
Yeah.
And I like how if you're good at it, you can pick up ridiculous speed, stupid speed through that. If you like get a good height and then nosedive and then swing at the right time and jump out of that swing, you're going at like Mach 5. It's Spider-Man. All the hats like, whoa. Just the traversing is obviously probably the main selling point of a Spider-Man game, but they've done it really, really well. It's very intuitive. The controls aren't hard. It's push R2 to swing and X to get a boost.
Yeah. What I really love about it, though, is obviously with the swinging and the movement being one of the biggest components to being Spider-Man, and one of the biggest sticking points for people coming into this game.
Sticking point.
Is it's literally the first thing you do. Like, yeah. The game opens, there's a minute and a half of, hey, Peter, wake up, go do the thing. Jumps out the window and you're swinging and you get that momentum and you get that sense.
Having said that, I feel like jumping out of his window in his Spider-Man costume in New York is probably a bad move. But anyway, that might get touched on later. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, no, you just rock it out and then you just start swinging. You just and you I get guess the momentum. You're straight into it. Which I love a lot. Like, it's a really good punch opener.
Yeah. The opening mission is good. It just kind of throws you in the action with a big name in the Spider-Man universe. You kind of just get straight into it.
Well, I think the first like 20 minutes, like, it's not that bad. Like, yeah. You catch Fisk. So you go to Fist Tower and then you...
You didn't say spoiler free.
Yeah, that's not spoiler. Like, it's 10 minutes in, that's not a spoiler. And plus, he's also been in the trailer.
If you've got hate, that guy.
Yeah, so you go to Fist Tower and because he's got all these henchmen, you instantly get exposed to here's a big hunk of different variants.
Yeah, and here's how you do all the things. Here's how you be stealthy. Here's how you use your vents. Here's how you do secret takedowns. Here's how you counter.
What I'm really enjoying, which is something that Batman didn't have because he didn't have that flexibility, is, you know, Batman and Spider-Man, they use items in their surround. Like, hey, throw that thing into the guy. But as Spider-Man, you run up a wall, you jump off it, and then, like, you're adding... Like, it's
got verticality.
It's verticality. It's fluid. Like, you never feel that you are crap, I'm backed into a corner. Oh, after this can be a bitch to get out of. Yeah. You can just jump around, and then you're forever moving.
Batman is very heavy-handed, very very solid. You know, the punches are so fucking meaty.
Yeah.
Whereas Spider-Man is, of course, an agile. Instead of he's got all these points in dexterity and agility instead of strength and stamina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make that comparison, but yeah, the combat is very Arkham-y,
but it's a little bit more than Arkham-y. So Arkham was very much square for punch, triangle for counter, period.
But you could counter into things and like
but like you only ever focus on really two buttons.
Where you don't really do any different in Spider-Man.
It's slightly different. You have an extra button, like you have the square to like punch and triangle to bring people closer.
Batman had the grappling gun.
But Batman, that wasn't a button. That was, you had to get the grapple. Like, you had to, it wasn't as simple as press triangle. It's there. It was more of a button combo. Where this is just like, bang, 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 bang. And then, you got the web shooters and stuff. Like, the fighting is really dope.
It's fluid.
Yeah, it feels slightly more oomphed in terms of complexity and speed compared to Arkham. But Arkham's system was just so tight. That I dug it a lot.
I don't think there's much complexity in the combat.
I mean, compared to Arkham, which was simple, but that's what worked.
It's pretty much the same.
That's
thing,
what
though.
Worked in its in I mean, its
you,
strength, though.
You can essentially get through either game mashing square and then hitting circle when you need to dodge, and then like, and just continue mashing square.
Yeah.
Except for the enemies, obviously, that have like riot shields and all that kind of stuff. So there is a lot to the combat. And you can add a lot of new moves. You can get all your new gadgets to do different things and all that. But you can really just kind of be like, I'm not going to do any of that. Mm. If you don't want to. Which is a good choice, I guess. Because just what you start with for combat can get you through the whole game. But just the gadgets are there to add a little spice.
Yeah.
You know, add a little diverse gameplay. And I like where Peter is in terms of where he's working in this game. Because it fits into... how you can work on your stuff and gives him a place to upgrade things and all that. I like how that's kind of woven. You and your phone, man. Yeah, I like how they've worked it so he's not like trying to build a suit in his apartment in some dingy New York building where everything makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, how can he upgrade with all this tech? Well, because of where he works, all this stuff is available to him to do really cool shit.
Well, as you can assume, he doesn't work at the Bugle.
But that's where doing all your collectibles come in, because all the tokens you get from all the different collectibles are what you need to build new suits.
Yeah, so it's like, so rather than going and getting like X-Men, you know, putting XP in and stuff, it's forcing you to go and try these different side missions.
If you want that suit, you need to go get a couple more of these collectibles and two of those ones. Okay, I'll get
it. Yeah, it's
and then on the way, I'll pick up that one, because it's on the way, straight line, that one.
Yeah, it's pretty much like how I've been doing. Like, if there's the mission, all right, I'm going to get whatever.
I'll get everything
on the way.
Yeah, for the most part. I've only had one side mission pop up.
I've had three now.
I mean, I've got two more popped up, but I've only done one.
Oh, I've not any of them yet.
It was cool. A little bit more in depth than I thought a side mission would be, you know, because there's all random events that happen. Like, there's a robbery over here, and there's a car crash over here, and, you know, that's
just... Beast Birdman.
Yeah, just to keep a bit of dynamicity.
Sure.
Dynamicity. Keep the game world a bit more dynamic.
Thank you.
Whereas the side quest was a little bit more in depth, you know, this is happening for this reason, we need you to do that. Having said that, Spider-Man straight up fucking murders people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And laughs about man. It and has good quips about it. I was fighting at the top of a skyscraper. I fucking punted this guy off. And I looked, I'm like, is he like going to web him? Because you know how Batman like catches him with the grapple hook, which would still snap their spine anyway.
Yeah.
But they're not alive. Dead. I'm like, no, he hit the ground and his gun went flying. I'm like, and then Spider-Man's like, see you later, alligator. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, we're not looking at like Logan Spider-Man, like this old grizzled guy who just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
This Spider-Man's seen some shit.
He's seen some shit. And it kind of took me out of it. I'm like, that, I don't really know how to feel about it because I know Spider-Man doesn't kill people.
Mm.
And he certainly doesn't quip about it if he accidentally does. He's like, whoopsie daisy.
Well, that's the only other downside of this game, with its, as you said before, with its verticality. Mm. Like, you spend a lot of time in up high buildings, which is really cool.
Until you boot someone
out. Until you like rocket someone off.
I don't know how hard it would have been for them to, like, if, you know, if Spider-Man hits X character with a drop of X amount, just make him do a quick web animation to, like, grab them or something. Like, hang them to the side of the building or something. But they're just not there.
Yeah.
That took me out of it for a second. I mean, it's fucking hilarious, though. Like, at the first, I was like, ooh, but now I do it on purpose. Yeah, just for fun.
Because I unlocked the move where, rather than using just the items around, you can grab someone and throw them around. And
went,
and he goes, like, he's gone. I'm like, oh, man. And he's webbed, so he's fucked.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
Yeah, it's not like he can catch the side of the building.
And I did also accidentally recreate that moment in Spider-Man 2 with the train.
I got hit by a train this morning too.
Yeah. I was down getting one of the bags in the tunnel.
Exactly the same one.
All right.
Really?
That's whoa.
Because I played it for a bit, like 20 minutes before I came.
Yeah.
Because I didn't turn it off last night. Because I was in the middle of a cutscene. Same thing. Backpack on it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because Millie was on the phone. She's like, oh, I'm on the phone. Can you turn it down? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I turn it down. Can I pause it? Turn it down. Unpause it. I'm like, what the fuck? Got monstered by a train. She's like, Ryan. I'm like, sorry.
There's a few funny death animations in there. Well, I mean, normally you just drop dead, but there was a photo on Reddit where an enemy like fucking punted Spider-Man into the wall and his body fell to the ground, but his head didn't. So his neck just got his hanging there like this. Fucking awesome.
I haven't had many technical problems. I have one, like on the opening missions when you get into the vents and then you climb up, you silent take down that one guy, you go to the next vent and you drop in and then you're in the server room.
Mm.
It wouldn't trigger the button.
Okay.
So I had to reset from checkpoint, went back in, and then it was fine.
Yeah, okay.
And so outside that, I've not really had any technical glitches. I've not had any, like, frame drops or nothing. Everything seems to be running relatively
smooth. There is
one
thing that irks me a little bit. You know how you can, like, climb the walls? Mm. Not sprinting up them, but just climbing.
Yeah.
I was climbing up to, like, suss out enemy, because I could see all the enemies up there. So I'm and when you get too close, you stay in the same animation, but your hand's above the ledge. So it's like, hey! Like, it's, and, you know, you turn, and it's, like, very stiff. And he doesn't like grab onto the ledge. The hand just stays in the same animation.
Let's get a little nitpicky as well.
It's
like,
nitpicky, I know.
Because in that same nitpick vein is like, I really like that they've, rather than just having a reflective window, they've given like rooms to some of the skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So when you climb them and you look in, you see a room. Mind you, I believe that's on repeat or random because it looks like they only have about 10 of them.
Yeah.
And they just, you know.
I saw one, a GIF where he was on one side of the building and it was like this lush apartment.
No, Digital Foundry,
when he went around the corner, it was just something else in there completely on the other window. It's little things.
It's a little cool thing that when you're not trying to pay attention to it and you're just running up, it's a cool touch.
One thing, I can't confirm this, maybe you can. It doesn't seem like there's a natural day-night cycle. The day or night is triggered by what story mission you're
correct.
Into. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because when I got to a point where it was nighttime, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, man, doing it at night?
It was so good doing it. But there is no natural cycle. You can't wait 10 minutes for it. Which I thought was a bit eh. But it probably
Could be some endgame stuff.
Probably makes sense in terms of the story because certain things have to happen at certain times of day.
Yeah. Something has to happen within the same 24-hour period. Yeah.
The story is pretty serviceable. So it's good so far. Nothing crazy. But I have had a few little smiles. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Mm. Or like,
ooh, I had
or,
one
or,
moment.
Or like when I'm like, I know who you are.
There was a cameo and I went, and I literally, my eyes widened, my mouth, I was went.
I saw that this morning too. That was cool.
That was awesome.
I don't like that. I mean, we had to know Mr. Negative was the villain just from like the first
trailer. Well, one of the villains, I assume. One of
them. But I'd assume probably the main one.
Well, not entirely, because the last gameplay trailer, or the last trailer, showed Shocker and Scorpion and Vulture and like...
Shocker?
Yeah.
Electro?
No,
is it someone else, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not down with the Spider-Man villains. Yeah. I know them, you know, Green Goblin. I thought Fisk was a Daredevil villain because he was in the Daredevil TV series. I didn't know who Mr. Negative was.
Yeah, I knew me. Negative was.
I only know the villains from the movies, basically. Yeah. And I can't even name them. Like the guy that turns to sand. Is it Sandman?
Sandman.
Fucking hell. Comics back in the 50s weren't that creative.
So you tell me, what does he do? He turns to sand. Ooh, what's he called?
Electro, what's he Sandman. Do? Electricity.
I think Shocker uses sound waves.
Okay.
So he's not actually an electric character.
And Rhino is wearing a Rhino.
Giant fucking Rhino
suit. Which I confused with Juggernaut from X-Men. So I'm not too down with the villains.
And that's what I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
Is because for that reason,
it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I do think I'll miss out on a lot of the subtler nods. Like when I played Arkham as an example.
When Scarecrow came up and you had no idea Scarecrow was in the game. Yeah. Was it City?
No,
or was it Asylum?
First Asylum.
Yeah. Because it was all marketed, I'm pretty sure, and that was Joker.
Yeah.
And then Scarecrow, and you're like, whoa!
And that was the one where he breaks your game.
Yeah.
He forces the PS3 to go into yellow
light.
But
of course, there are people out there who, how we feel about Batman and his villains, feel the same about Spider-Man
exactly.
and his villains.
Like, in terms of the rogues gallery, like, you know how Batman has a massive rogues gallery? Spider-Man is Marvel's that. They have the Spidey foes. Like,
some
huge.
Are great, and some are just fucking.
Oh, there's some poops in there. But, like, in terms of pure number, there is just insane
got a lot to pull
Spidey
from.
Villains.
And I think it's a given. Who will be the main villain in the sequel? Judging just because I haven't seen that particular villain yet.
Yeah, so this is.
I don't want to say who's in it and who's not, other than what we've seen in the trailer. Yeah. But yeah, judging by who we haven't seen yet, they're going to do a sequel, guaranteed.
I have a feeling it's priority. I wouldn't say it's already in the works. It has?
No, I mean, yeah, it's given that it's been greenlit.
Yeah. I imagine looking at the scores of this, like the second that the embargo dropped, they went, yeah, you guys are doing a sequel.
For the next 5 years to scare.
Yeah.
We want it on the PS5, yeah. Please. But there's a lot to do. There's a lot of collectibles. You can collect your suits. You can mod your suits. You can wear the suit you want and take the power from a different suit and put it on that, which lets you... you know, customize yourself a bit more. There's a whole heap of gadgets you can get and upgrade. There's cool little mini games in the lab for, like, you know, unlocking certain
things. Gene sequences. Which is really weird. You're doing gene sequencing for random little science nitpick there.
Yeah.
You're doing gene sequencing for it's like, hey, this is not a gene. This is just a random material that we're looking at.
A random element.
Yeah. Like, hey, this is polyethylene, whatever. Fuck.
It takes what BioShock did. And kind of goes...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So this is the pipe system. Yeah,
the fluid goes from here to here, and you need to pipe it up so it goes there, but this is a little bit more in-depth. I enjoyed it. I do them all. Every time I go back there, I do every single one, because it gives you a good hunk of XP as well.
Yeah, I certainly didn't hate it.
There's a lot to do. I don't know how long the story... If you just wanted to power the story, I don't know how long it'll take, because I haven't finished it yet. But you will
apparently it's about 20 hours.
You get a few dozen hours... if you want to complete everything. And they did announce that there will be DLC coming very, very soon, which a lot of people are like, meh, and some people are like, yeah. I mean, they're yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
There's a reason, like, one, I didn't finish Horizon, and two, even if I had, like, there was such...
It's too far. Cole.
Too far. Like, that's probably the best
especially
example.
Especially Horizon, such an in-depth combat game. If you go back to it 8 months later, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah,
fuck,
exactly. Like, even if I was like, "Oh, Horizon's coming. Let's go back and play it now." Because I was thinking about playing it last week. I'm like, I'm gonna have to start again. I don't remember anything.
It's not. It's definitely not one of the games you can just.
What's your stance on having DLC drop within like a month?
It's fine. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because for the issue we just talked about, where it's too long, it might be too soon. I don't really care. But you know, let's say you play Spider-Man for 2 weeks, and you're like, cool. Finished the story, I got the plat, and then 2 weeks later it's like, here's more. And it's like, fuck yeah, because you're still in the mood for it, you still remember how to play it, the muscle memory is still there.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
I have no issue with it.
And it's $25 for all three.
$29 Australian.
$29, of course. Or I guess in Australia.
Which isn't
like
bad. They could have jacked it to like $45 or something. So for $29.99.
Or you can buy them individually.
I'm happy to pick it up.
We'll see. I'm not enthralled with it like I was God of War. A God of War from start to finish, I was just like, this is the best thing I've played in my fucking life.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight, it's probably not. But at the moment, it just from start to finish, it's just like, fuck.
No, I still think it is.
It's up there. Yeah. But when you're in the moment, your judgment's clouded a little bit as well.
Yes, of course. But I've said it before and I'll say it again, the emotional response that God of War got out of me is unbeaten.
I didn't play Detroit, so I'm probably not, and I'm probably not going to. When I go to play it, I'm like, all right, let's play some more. When I'm playing, I'm like, this is fine. This is fun. So it's kind of like, I need to not do so much busy work because I've got that itch to like, there's a backpack over there and there's a construction company and I'm going to do all the things. But then I need to break it up. Like, no, go do a story mission, you know, break it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do all the collectibles now. Because it's probably, doing all the collectibles now is probably dumb, because later in the game you probably get some super cool way to do them like fucking quickly and you spend all this time really slowly. Let me
hit that one. Potentially.
I don't like how
I'm at least unlocking the signal towers.
Yeah.
Because that, like,
they're important.
Yeah, in the same vein of like an Assassin's Creed as an example, you know, you'd use the towers to sort of unlock your map as you can see what's there and then collectibles pop up.
I don't like how at the moment anyway there's no fast travel.
I'm happy with that. I like the movement.
When it pops up and it's like, this is 3,000 meters away, it's just like, oh. Yeah, the movement's fun, but that's like 4 minutes of just... Yeah.
I think once you start... Yep. If you clear out stuff, when if you clear out all the collectibles and then you have to do the 4K run, that's kind of poo. Because collectibles break up that run.
Because where I am now, the next story mission is like 3,300 meters away from me. I'm just like, oh, that is so fucking far to go. And I've got nothing to do on the way because I've already done the collectibles. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Like, what does Spider-Man do? Take a taxi? You know, like, I'm not sure how they would do it, but...
Yeah, I know, I know. I don't know. Especially with no day-night cycle, it makes it... I don't know. That irks me a little bit, but I haven't even been to the top of the map yet. But maybe there'll be something later. I don't know. Maybe you get like the Green Goblin's glider or something. It's like...
Look, one little nitpick that I have, which kind of got validated for me in listening to other shows, was movement is dope. Fast, you are just beaming across that. But the second you try to stop and you try to get a little finicky, it just cracks the shits.
Like trying to grab a backpack on the side of halfway
up
the wall. Like
So I'm like, all right, up past it. All right, come back down, drop past it. I'm like, what the fuck? So I try swinging around to it.
I'll grab onto the wall. Wait, I'm sprinting.
Yeah, and like that's where like when you need to go to play and you want that big gigantic movement, like you feel it and like, you're like, fuck, yes, this is all amazing.
Good use of motion blur too while you're swinging.
Yeah, I'm not having
it. Really kind of picks up, makes you feel like you're going fast.
Especially when it's running at 30, like that's the good way to trigger that that fake higher frame rate. What I am really enjoying though, and it's just kind of like a subtle bit of fun, is I like when you're getting to a destination and I, you know, you get to it and you kind of go, and you go up high and then you just drop and land exactly where you need to.
I know, I like when you can see there's like a robbery happening at the street below you, so you swing up, power down, and as you go down, you mash triangle, so you immediately web onto one of them. You think it's like, and that dude is fucked. Because you leave it, when you go from a certain height, you leave a crater in the ground. You've just punched a dude into a crater on a cement pavement. Like, he's dead.
Yeah.
But there is, it's unashamedly, you are murdering people this whole game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But speaking of the big drop, like, there's no fall damage, which I'm a big fan of. Like,
that's whatever a spider can.
Yeah, but even like Batman, if you fell, like, ugh. Like you would die
if you didn't do a button press. Yeah,
like, if you didn't do the like little at the end, like you'd get wrecked.
Yeah.
But here it's like, so if you miss your jump by any, if you miss the swing and the time the swing wrong, and you land on the ground, it's not a problem.
I found a fair few Easter eggs from other franchises.
Yeah, well, this is common knowledge. Avengers Tower's there.
Yeah.
As is the Sanctum Sanctorum from Doctor Strange. They're the two ones that I've found so far.
Wakanda's embassy.
Really?
Yeah. And Peter's like, as he's walking away, he's like, I wonder how Black Panther got his powers. Did he get bit by a radioactive panther? That'd be cool. But also, a lot of the quips are repeated a lot.
Yeah.
Like when you do, because all the mini events that happen throughout the city, like the robberies or whatever, when you finish them, you do a quip. And it's like cycling between one of three different quips for that scenario. Mm. And it's like, okay.
But yeah, like, no, I really enjoy
that.
He
likes to walk off silently. Just
yeah, he does have a weird little run, I've noticed.
He's kind of like, kind of half stealth, half not. Yeah. Like, he's got like, carried up his bum a little
Spooderman.
Bit.
That's, he's spoodering.
Spoderman. But I do like the interactions with the city, as well, like with the people as well. Mm. You know, you can stop to take photos with them. You know, they can have quick little conversations with you.
Yeah, like I'm drawing the landmark photos as well, because that's another way to get some Easter eggs in there. Like I found the, you know, the boxing gym that you get from Daredevil.
The collectibles aren't there for no reason, and they all, everything you find, he says something about them that kind of says a bit of what's happened in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
So it does build upon it, but there's a lot. There is a fucking lot. But they're not, I'm in two minds. There's a lot, but they're not hard to get. They're actually pretty fun to get, but it is daunting.
Mm.
But it adds to the story. So, you know, maybe it's fine. Mm. I don't feel strongly either way about it. But when I opened the map the first time after doing a few, I was like, fuck, that's a lot of stuff. And there's still like, everything is locked on it as well. I'm like, oh.
We better wrap this up because we've got to go do some more other filming after this. So yeah,
let's skip the drop.
Have you... Well, let's just run through it.
No, skip it. There's only one game you need to have. It's Tomb Raider. Everything else is just right, whatever.
Let me go back to the top for me. If you tell us what you think of Spooderman in the comments below. Yeah, no, skip that one. Some JRPG looking Boundless. Don't know what that is. Claws of Fury. Construction Simulator 2. So stoked on the first one. Fossil Hunters. Marble Jewel. NBA 2K19. There's an Australian dude on the cover. Evan Parent pretty much really excited about that.
Great.
Nefarious. Neon Wall. PSVR. NHL. Yeah, fun. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. That's probably the big thumbs up for this week.
Experience Lara Croft's defining moment as she becomes a Tomb Raider. In Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Lara must master a deadly jungle, overcome terrifying tombs, and persevere through her darkest hour, like she did the first two games.
I do kind of hope they expand on the gameplay, because the stories are poops at this point, so I hope they just make the game better to play. Some game, Trickster VR. Nah, get out of here. V Rally 4. Yeah, that's
Badge,
it.
Badge Rally 4.
Bunch of garbage coming out of... Of the store this week. It's better than previous weeks.
Not really.
And the what I'm finding, actually, a lot of these don't make it to the Australian store.
Yeah, I have noticed that too.
So that, like, whenever that fart one yeah,
wasn't on the PSN Oz, but it was on the Nintendo eShop.
Hmm.
Don't know.
So I don't know why that works, what the discrepancy is on that. Might be worth asking around.
They're probably not worth it.
Oh, anymore. No, as in, like, I'm just curious. Like, I'm not saying, okay, can you give us the shitty games? Like, we're getting a little more, what I'm looking for.
I don't know.
We're getting a little more cleaned up than the other versions, which is nice to know.
Yeah, maybe. Or it's all just going to dump at once.
Maybe it dumps throughout the week instead.
That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculture. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you are a Patreon supporter, you can watch us record this live like some are right now. And if you want to show the love of pop cultures on your body, hit popcultures.com/shop. We can buy shirts like this, like that.
Yep.
And other assorted PlayStation, other assorted pop culture things. And we are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturists, where you can like, subscribe, and donate, and watch me play games on there mostly, because these guys are the guys that do it.
Mm-hmm.
But until next week. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.